Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and each week I bring you an exclusive in-depth interview with some of the most colourful and interesting characters in the game. If you've missed any so far, where have you been? You can listen back to them on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and also by visiting the website derekclarksport.co.uk. This week I was lucky enough to speak to a proper Scottish footballing legend, the one and only Alec Totten. We hear how he moved to Liverpool under the late great Bill Shankly as a young boy, mixing with Anfield heroes such as Ian St John, Ron Yates and Roger Hunt. He also tells us about his time with Dundee, Dunfermline and his beloved Falkirk, where he teamed up with a young Sir Alex Ferguson. But it's his career in management where he's probably best known. We hear how he turned around the fortunes of a host of clubs, including St Johnstone, Kilmarnock and Falkirk. And of course, we hear about the time he spent at Ibrox when the arrival of Graeme Souness denied him the chance to take charge at Rangers. It was an absolute pleasure to listen to Alec's story in the game, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to him too. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode of the Talking Football Podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Talking Football Podcast, and I'm absolutely delighted to say we're joined by a legend of Scottish football, the one and only Alec Totten. Alec, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure.
Wonderful career in the game, Alec. We'll start off back, born 1946, is that right, in Denyalone Head?
That's correct, yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Were you always kicking a ball about as a young boy?
Always. I mean, at Christmas time, that was my thrill. We got like a ball and a pair of boots and a tin of dubbing. And that was my Christmas. And to be able to walk, I just used to kick a ball all the time, every day. Same at school. I mean, playtime, dinner time, playtime. My dad, come on, it's bedtime now. Time to come in, just kick the ball all the time, which was great.
And did you follow any teams as a youngster?
I followed Falkirk. I used to go with my pals behind the goals, the old Brockville, which was great. And my dad, he was a Rangers fan, so he would team with Ibrox occasionally. So Falkirk was my team at that particular time.
Yeah, and player-wise, did you have any sort of role models or any players that you admired when you were a youngster?
Bobby Charlton was my favourite, and I got to meet him, which was great, you know. So Jack Nicklaus as regards, I love the golf as well. So Jack Nicklaus was a big favourite of mine, you know, a great ambassador for the sport, you know, as was Bobby Charlton.
Was there a point in time, Alec, when you were playing that you felt that you could carve a career in the game?
Well, what happened when I was 15, I was picked for Scottish Schoolboys, which was a very exciting time, and we beat England, Ireland and Wales to win the Victory Shield. And when that happened, there were lots of scouts at the house, and I went down to Man United. My parents, first time I'd been in an aeroplane, and the lad Murphy, Jimmy, Matt Busby's assistant, took us round Old Trafford, and he said, "I want you to meet someone." And the guy was Bobby Charlton. He was knocking a ball off the wall, right foot, left foot, just himself. And I got his autograph. So I was only 15 then. I think he must have been about 20, 21, but he was my idol. So to meet him, and I've still got the signature in the house and the Man United paper, which was tremendous. So I went to Man United and went to Birmingham and Middlesbrough, and also went to Liverpool. And Liverpool at that particular time was in the second division. But Bill Shankly impressed me so much, and I signed, and Ian St John signed in the June, and I signed July, and a big boy called Ronnie Yates signed in August. So that's what happened. I went to Liverpool, and it was a fantastic experience, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, going down there at such a young age as well, was it a bit daunting when you went down there, or did you just take it in your stride, sort of thing?
It was a bit daunting. I was the only one in the house, so but the good thing was there were three of the lads in the digs, Scottish lads, so they made me very welcome. They knew all the ropes, sort of thing, and it was a great time, exciting time. 258 Anfield Road, that was that was my digs. In fact, last Sunday I was down to the Liverpool Tottenham game with my son and my two grandkids, and I went to see my old digs, so they were delighted to see that. We got our photographs taken there, but it was a great time at Liverpool. I remember one time we used to go to the cavern, see the Beatles, and we're in the digs and with the radio, and when the lad said, "Listen, that's that group we heard, the Beatles. Imagine them being in the radio." Well, as the saying goes, the rest is history. But Liverpool that particular time, Shankly was tremendous. Bob Paisley was here, Joe Fagan, and latterly, of course, Kenny Dalglish. So there was great continuity, but you learned all the time. And Shanks treated everyone the same, whether you're a ground staff lad or where you're an experienced player. So we strip at Anfield and get the bus down to Melwood. It took about 25 minutes and we trained there and back to Anfield for some tea. And being the ground staff, had all the chores to do, cleaning the bath, cleaning boots. Used to clean Ian St John's boots. That was that was my job. And the good thing being in Liverpool last week is I've got a reunion on the 6th of December at the Bill Shankly Hotel in Liverpool. And the guys that I played with and the ground staff, they're all going. There are about 10 of us. And Ian St John's going as well, which is great. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. It's funny you mentioned that, like the Beatles and all that. What a time it must have been to go and live down there at that period of time.
Everybody said that. It was marvellous. I mean, the swinging blue jeans and Cilla, well, Cilla White, Cilla Black then, and
yeah.
Freddie Starr, and it was great. It was a tremendous... A lad was on television a short time ago, and he said that one of the greatest experiences had been at Liverpool in the early 60s, and it was. Everything was happening. The football club was emerging as a force, the music scene, so Liverpool then was a fabulous. I remember... I took 12 driving lessons and went for my test and I put my Liverpool blazer on. I'm saying to myself, I hope the guys know an Everton supporter. I passed first time, so he must have been a Liverpool fan, so which was great. But it was a tremendous experience. It really was, Liverpool. And I was there for about 3 or 4 years. And I say all the boys were fantastic and the club got promotion that season. Not because of me, I was only 15, but because of lads like Ian St John, Roger Hunt, and Ronnie Yates. So it was a place to be, without a doubt. It was fabulous. And then I left Liverpool and I went to Dundee. Eddie Turnbull wanted to sign me for Aberdeen, but Bob Shankly, Bill's brother, was manager of Dundee. So I signed for Dundee, and which again was a great club at that time. I'd won the league and we're in Europe, so it was a fabulous experience.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how that move came about. Was it just a case of that because they were brothers, they sort of knew who you were and they sort of recommended you to them?
Without a doubt, he must have phoned Bob and said, like, say this young lad from played at Liverpool, so recommended me. But when he used to say to Shankly, what's your team? Same as last year. In other words, with great continuity, but then it's hard to break through. Anyway, I went to Dundee and I played 4 reserve games, right in the first team. It was against Rangers, it was against Wally Henderson. There were 30,000 there, and we beat them 4-1. And it was fabulous, and it was great. I mean, Dundee United beat them 4-1. So Dundee then were a good side, and the best player I've ever played with was Alan Gilzean. I remember the day he came in and he says, well, that's my way to Tottenham, 72,500. Bill Nicholson had been up and he used to be quite friendly with Big Gilly. He was he stayed in the Cooper Angus, so but a great move. And I went to Tottenham, of course. He was about 10 years with Jimmy Greaves. He's the best player I've ever played with. He's just a different class, both in the air and the ground. Played with Scotland as well. So it was a great experience at Dundee. I really enjoyed it. But Bob left then, so I went away to Dunfermline, and I was about 4 or 5 years with Dunfermline, and it was a great club to be with because I played with Fergie. In fact, I made my debut, Alec Ferguson, in Norway. We won 3-1. We used to travel every day with them. And but Dunfermline then is probably the most enjoyable team I played with because we're always in Europe. We won the Scottish Cup, and it was great. Then we won the Scottish Cup in 1968. We went to America to try and promote football from New York to Los Angeles, Vancouver and Toronto in Canada. And we toured with Man City. Joe Mercer was manager, Franny Lee was there, Mike Summerby, so it was great, only 21 years of age, but tremendous experience then, and so Dunfermline to me was the best club I played with as regards like the enjoyment.
What was it like to play with, Sir Alex as he's now known, did you sort of realise back then that you would go on and have carved such a career in management?
Well, the thing is, he was always the shop steward in the dressing room. He knew the game inside out, and everybody respected him. When I was there, I went to Rangers, of course, for £60,000. But I travelled every day with him, and always going really well with Fergie. He was a good player. He was an 18-yard box player. That's where he got all the goals. But I remember one time we played Kilmarnock, and we drew to each down at Rugby Park. I was against a boy called Tommy McLean. The replay, East End Park, Fergie scored a 25-yarder right in the top corner, beat him 1-0. But normally, he was an 18-yard box player, but that goal was magnificent. It was great. But, I mean, what a career he's had. I mean, I used to, send him a Christmas card, I get one back, and I used to phone him occasionally at the Carrington and that. So, he came up to Stirling University a few years ago, an honorary doctorate, and again, like, say, with a good photograph taken and that. So, we're always good friends. And I brought a book out, Thoughts from the Cop to the Kelpies, and Alec done the foreword for me, which was really
good
tremendous.
Stuff.
So, proud of that.
Yeah, you mentioned that Dunfermline was probably your best time in terms of playing wise. I was reading doing a bit of research. You came fourth in the league in your first season, so there must have been a cracking outfit. What was the sort of secret to the success there at Dunfermline?
It was really team spirit. All the boys were for each other, and that's the secret of football. I mean, I was a manager for 22 years, but it's all about team spirit, all playing for each other and getting the right blend. And that was the great thing about Dunfermline. And they had a lot of good players then, and they always had wingers. I mean, I was a manager 22 years, but always had wingmen. You can't beat it. Pass the fullback, getting the ball in for the strikers. And but it was a very good team. They were always in the top four and in Europe and in the league. Dunfermline was always in Europe, so it was a very enjoyable spell.
Yeah, I mean, even when you joined Dundee, I mean, Dundee a couple of seasons before was playing AC Milan in the semi-finals of the European Cup. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, these Scottish sides competing at the top end of these competitions?
I know, they're tremendous. Dundee were a great side. Alec Hamilton was right back, of course, played with Scotland, and Alan Goldzien played with Scotland, you know, so a cracking side, Dundee, and great crowds then. I said earlier, 15, 20, 30,000, and now if Dundee get 5,000, they're delighted. It's changed days. It's the football's not as exciting now as it used to be, as far as I'm concerned. And it was an entertainment business at one time, but not so much now, which is sad, really.
Yeah, it certainly is. You mentioned that Dunfermline won the Scottish Cup in 68. You never played in that game, Alec. Were you disappointed not to play? What was it like to win this trophy for the club?
Well, the thing is, I played in the earlier rounds against Aberdeen and that, but there are two great fullbacks in Willie Callaghan and John Lunn. And in fact, Liverpool offered 30,000 for John Lund, but Dunfermline turned it down, so it was difficult to break through. But when I did, I felt I played my part. And when we played Aberdeen and leading up to the Scottish Cup final, I was against Jinky Smith, who eventually went to Newcastle. And I remember the headlines in the paper the next day said, Totten subdued Smith. And we won 2-1, which was great. So I played a small part, if you like, to get to the final. But I say the great bunch of lads, I still keep in touch with them yet, lads here. So. It was a very enjoyable time.
Jolly good. And you moved to Falkirk then in 69. Were you delighted to join your sort of boyhood club, if it were?
Yeah, it was a dream come true, really. Willie Cunningham signed me for Dunfermline and Falkirk, so to go to Falkirk was tremendous for me, a local lad, and to support her and play with the football club was great. And there, again, there were a good bunch of lads there as well, so it was a good time. It was an enjoyable time.
And Sir Alex Ferguson went there at this. Was it round about the same time he moved there?
He was there. I played with Alec at like Dunfermline and Falkirk, so obviously I knew him for the Dunfermline days. So he played then, and Andy Roxburgh, who became the manager of Scotland eventually, and he played there as well. So it was quite. We won the First Division Championship. We scored about 96 goals, which was tremendous. And Fergie and obviously like say Andy Roxburgh played their part, and but it was an enjoyable time. It was good. I enjoyed it there.
Yeah, what was it like playing at the old Brockville?
Brockville was great. That was my home, really, obviously, as a supporter, as a player, and obviously as a manager. And it was great because you could almost touch the players, and it was a great atmosphere. All the clubs didn't like coming to Brockville. You know, it was a very difficult place to get a result. So I miss Brockville. I don't know about that. We've got a new stadium now, which is very good, but I miss old Brockville. That was my home.
Yeah, it was some ground, wasn't it? I was reading a bit of research. You scored your first senior goal at Falkirk, is that right?
I didn't. I played Albion Rovers at Coat Bridge, and always a cracker, by the way. I keep telling people it's a 30-yarder, probably 18-yarder, 30-yarder. But anyway, went in the back of the net, that was the most important thing. But it was enjoyable. Once again, like Dunfermline, it was a good bunch of lads here, and we'd done very well.
Yeah, the spells then at Queen of the South in Alloa, and Alloa's where you sort of took your first steps into management. Were you always wanting to go into that side of the game?
Without a doubt. Alloa was the worst team in Scotland. There were 38 clubs in Scotland at that particular time, and but the second season I got promotion. I just turned things right round about, you know, worked really hard. There are no shortcuts, all about sheer hard work, and so I got promotion. Then we're sixth in the Premier League. Then Falkirk come for us, and Falkirk were bottom of the First Division. So I went to Falkirk in November 82, and I left Falkirk in November 83, and they were sitting second top and just turned it right round about. And the reason I left is because I went to Rangers. Chuck Wallace phoned me one Friday, said, I'd like you to come as my assistant. He said, I'm going to Aberdeen tomorrow. He said, I'll phone you Monday. But in the meantime, we played Clyde at Brockville, and Craigie Brown's manager at Clyde, and our chairman says, can I see you a minute? He says, that's Motherwell, I want to speak to you. Because Chuck Wallace had left Motherwell to go to Rangers. So I went through to Coatbridge Hotel on the Monday night, and met the chairman, Mr. Livingston, all the directors, Motherwell, Celtic, won't offer you a five-year contract. We've had so many managers here, with Jock Wallace leaving, Davy Hay, Roger Hine, Alan McLeod, Ian St. John, want continuity. You're the man we want. So I phoned him on the Wednesday, thanked him most sincerely, turned it down, and I had to beat Rangers for 4 o'clock on the Friday. So you can imagine going there, you know, your pride, but trepidation. And anyway, I went there, and Big Jock, the commissioner, Mr. Wallace, is waiting at the top of the marble staircase up there. He said, come on, so you're now a Ranger, meet the directors, Wally Waddle, Ray Simpson, and that. So that was me at Rangers, which was tremendous. And the next day we played Dundee United and met all the players for the first time, and Ali McCoy, David Cooper, boys like that, and that was it. That was the start of it, so it was a dream come true, really.
What was it like meeting Jock for the first time, and what was it like to work with?
It was brilliant. It was tremendous to me. He says, when I step up general manager, you'll take over as team manager. You were at Liverpool with a great continuity with Shankly and Bob Paisley, Joe Fagan. I want to do the same here. So that was sitting. The chairman, eventually two of us, John Payton, he had that in the Sunday Express when Jock Wallace steps up general manager. Alec Totten takes over the team manager. So that was that initial ideas. But we won, we beat Celtic 3-2. I always remember he said, you've never lived at Rangers, Alec. You beat Celtic in a cup final, which we did. Alan McCoy's got a hat-trick, beat him 3-2. They went away a world tour, away to Australia, New Zealand, America and Canada. And we won it the next season. The striker Ian Ferguson got the only goal, beat Dundee United. So, but it was great. Rangers in Europe and played the Inter Milans and German teams and that. So it was a tremendous experience and I loved it there. It was really good. And Jock was a special guy to me. He was 6'3", a big lad, but he was very good to me without a doubt. So.
Yeah, did you? And you mentioned the Old Firm games, being a part of it in the dugout there. What was that like, Alec?
I'm a great believer in communication with players, and that particularly the Old Firm games, you couldn't hear yourself speaking. Unbelievable. And I remember one time we beat Celtic 3-0, Ibrox, and Ted McMinn was the wide man outside left, and Willem Stay eventually got ordered off against them. Were tremendous that day. So it was exciting times and great games, and Davy Hay was manager of Celtic. I was really friendly with Davy as well, so it was a great camaraderie, and really, to be honest, even between the managers, we all wanted to win, of course, your own team, but there were great games, and the Old Firm games is just something special.
When Jock left the club, you took over as a sort of caretaker. Were you disappointed not, as I said, you took the club on full-time?
Well, the thing is, what happened was, on the Monday, Big Jock says, Alec, they're going to bring Souness in, Graeme Souness. So that was it. So Jock left on the Monday. Then I looked after things, and Graeme came in Tuesday morning, and introduced him to all the players, and then I went back to Sampdoria. Then I had to look after things. Then, like say, Watty Smith came in, so that was it. So I left Rangers. It was a great experience. I mean, all the clubs I've been with, you learn all the time from different managers and working with players. And I said earlier, Derek, there are no shortcuts. It's all about sheer hard work and dedication. And if you do that, you've got a chance of success.
Yeah, certainly. When they told you that Souness was coming in, I think it sort of shocked a lot of people. Did it shock yourself to see him coming into the club?
It certainly did, because nobody knew anything about it. You know, Jock got the sack, then all of a sudden just Graeme Souness, they kept it very, very quiet. All credit to them. And but I went to see Graeme when he came in. I said, listen, I wish you all the very best. I appreciate that. Like, thank you very much. You know, and I didn't know Graeme from Adam. That was Big Jock's man, so I knew he was a Celtic. I was leaving, and then Watty came in, and I was always friendly with Watty. Went on holiday one time, and the wives and the kids and that, so good on him. So, but he was he's a brilliant guy as well, Water. He really was. So it was a great partnership, him and Graeme. They're very, very successful. But the thing is, I mean, I think Big Jock spent $600,000 in 3 years, whereas Graeme came in about $16 million in 3 years. So that was the difference. If you've got the money, you can get quality. It's as simple as that. You look at all the leagues in England, they're up there because they've spent the money, and that's how you get the class players, quality players, and that's what happened. But it was a great spell for Rangers then. I mean, Graeme did really well. He turned the club right round about, and they're very successful. And because the fans are fantastic. Great. I mean, very loyal. Like, the Falkirk fans are very loyal. So, but I said, the experience again there was tremendous. It stood me in good stead for the rest of my career in management.
You went to Dumbarton after that, and then probably a great spell at St Johnston after that.
Yeah, I went to Dumbarton. The problem with Dumbarton was it was a great club, but you could never get a good crowd because they're always going to cross the Erskine Bridge in Glasgow to Parkhead and Ibrox. And we're sitting about second top, and Jeff Brown come for us, the chairman of St talked to Sir Hugh Fraser, who was the chairman of Dumbarton. So I went to St Johnstone. They were the third worst team in Scotland, and they went to the second division of Premier in 3 seasons. I took them right up, which was fantastic, and with a new stadium from Muirton to McDermott, and I phoned Alec up, Alec Ferguson. So we brought Man United up, opened officially, and Sir Mark Busby was there, and Bobby Charlton, which was great. And he done us proud that day, Alec Ferguson, which was great. So, but I enjoyed St Johnstone. You know, I was, went to 3 semi-finals of the Cup, and I say we got promotion to Premier League and that, and I got Manager of the Year, which I'm really proud of. In fact, David Cooper was Player of the Year. It was the Grosvenor Hotel in Glasgow, about 400 people there, so I was very proud of that. So I got the Manager of the Year above the Rangers and Celtic manager, which was a proud time. So St Johnstone to me was, I said the happiest time I had as a player was Dunfermline, but undoubtedly the happiest time as a manager was with St Johnstone. It was tremendous up there, you know, and had a lot of success, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, but when you left the club, Alec, were you disappointed to leave in the way you did?
I was very disappointed because we'd won defeat in 8 games, and 6 in the Premier League, but the chairman wanted a change, and that happened sometimes. So I came home that day, the BBC was at the front door, all the papers and everything. It was a big shock for everyone, really. Sometimes you feel awful, I'm going to get the sack, but not that time, that particular time. So, but he wanted a change, and that was it. And my phone never stopped for about 3 days. I got about 400 letters from people all over Scotland. And I remember the Perthshire Advertiser, the paper, and one guy wrote, "What they got in common, John Lennon, John F. Kennedy and Alec Totten. All remember where I was when I heard the tragic news." And that was one of the letters, and it was a big surprise to everybody, to be honest with you. I remember Andy Rocks when I played with Andy at Falkirk and Craigie Brown at Dundee, and they're both Scotland managers, and they come to Perth one day and they say, "Alec, you're here for life. What a job you've done here." So but everyone knows football management is very, very precarious, but you just got to enjoy the occasion, enjoy it while you can. But even yet, I had a phone call last week, and they're wanting to go up to Perth to the supporters club, so I'm going up in January, the 25th of January, and I still have tremendous rapport with the St Johnstone fans, and which is great. I love the club. It was tremendous.
Yeah, but when you won that Manager of the Year in 1991, did you get in maybe any offers from any other clubs maybe sniffing about? Because to come ahead of the Old Firm bosses is a great feat.
Yeah, without a doubt. What I'd done was I was working with the BBC Radio every Saturday, which I enjoyed that, going to all different grounds in Scotland. And I enjoyed working with the BBC. And but then East Fife come, the chairman said, "I'm not very sure if the company," said, "but I thought you might be with me come to the lower leagues." But I thought, well, I miss my football, I miss the dressing room. So I went to East Fife. I was there 1 year, and I got on promotion. And then in Kilmarnock come, I got a phone call. Tommy Burns went to Celtic, and I got Tommy's job at Kilmarnock. So I was delighted to be back in the Premier League again. And Kilmarnock's a big club. I really enjoyed it there. It was a super club, and I remember we built 3 new stands. So I phoned Kenny Dalglish, and they had won the league with Blackburn. So we brought Blackburn up, Alan Shearer, the whole lot, and the two teams lined up. There were about 16,000-17,000 there, and I'm a friend of a big boy called Gordon Sherry, a great golfer. So he just played the Masters. So I got him to walk out and say, "Alec, that's the proudest moment of my life, but my mum and dad, you know, never mind playing in Open at St Andrews or the Masters." He's walking out there, he says, the big, big Kelly fan he was, and I'm still friendly with Gordon yet. I played a Loch Lomond golf course about 6 times with him, and still keep in touch. So so it was good, come on, I enjoyed it. And but I said before, it's a precarious management, as you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and of course you left Kilmarnock and rejoined, of course, your boyhood club Falkirk in 1996, and as what luck would have it, you'd face Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup final that season.
Yeah, with a great cup run, and they beat Dunfermline and Raith Rovers, 2 Premier League sides, and we played Celtic in the semi-final at Ibrox, and we beat them over 2 games, which is unbelievable. It was a miracle, really, to be honest with you, and it was great. Then I left Kilmarnock in December, and we played the Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup final in May, and I'd signed 7 of the Kilmarnock players. The other 4 were there when I went there. So Bobby Williamson, they beat us 1-0, and after the game I said, "Well done, Bobby." He says, "Alec, I don't know if I'm a good manager or a bad manager." I said, "Bobby, you're a legend, you've just won the cup, you know." And everybody said it was Alec Totten's team. Even Paul Wright got the only goal. Now, I signed Paul for St Johnstone for $300,000. I signed him for Kilmarnock for $300,000. He got the only goal of the game. And as soon as the final whistle went, he came right across the dugout, my dugout, and gave us a big cuddle. You know what I mean? And he had a bit in the Kilmarnock programme that next season, and I profiled Paul Wright, and he says everybody knew that was Alec Totten's team, which it was, because I'd signed all the players. But that's football. I say it's ups and downs, and you've just got to really enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, certainly. Did it feel a bit weird, that the final facing them, Alec, and what had gone on?
Without a doubt. I mean, you're walking out, it's usually you and the enemy. But I knew all the players. They're all going to stand the tunnel. And, hello, Alec. Hi, Alec. You know, that sort of thing was strange. And I suppose the good thing about it was... In the paper on the Monday, in big black headlines, one winner, no loser. It was a real Family Cup final, because the Falkirk fans, there were 22,000 Falkirk fans here, and the place was packed, and everybody waited till all the team went round with the cup in that. Then they disappear, you know what I mean? They got a great ovation to the Falkirk, Kilmarnock players, and the same with Falkirk players. So it was a real Family Cup final. But at the end of the day, I mean... You go there for one thing, to bring the cup back, so we're disappointed. But with an open-top bus and Falkirk, there were thousands and thousands here, and they were really proud of us, which was great. So, from that point of view, it was fabulous. And the next season, we went to the semi-final, and we played Hearts, and we should have beat Hearts. Even Jim Jeffries said that, John Robertson, were a far better team than Hearts. And they say Falkirk got a cup final every 40 years. It should have been 2 years in the trot.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, that's what happened. So, it was... It was a great spell at that particular time.
Yeah, it certainly was. You wore the old kilt in the cup final as well. Was there a lot of thinking behind that one?
Well, I said to one of the players, a boy called Kev McAllister, who's probably, I mean, I said earlier, Alan Gunzine's the best player I've ever played with. David Cooper was probably the best player, maybe coaching that, but Cooper's a natural. And Kev McAllister, the best player I've ever signed. I signed him twice for Falkirk, a winger. And I said, I was thinking of wearing a kilt, oh, Gaffer, that'd be great. The fans would love it. And I said to the boy for the BBC, Jock Brown, I think we're in the kilt. Oh, it's great. I'll give you a good mention when you come out of the tunnel, which he did. He says, Alec Totten was splendid in the Falkirk tartan. And so I was quite proud, the first manager ever to wear a kilt in a cup final, and real Scottish. So it was good. I got a lot of publicity because of that, but I really enjoyed wearing it, without a doubt. And it was terrific.
Yeah, it was. I was going to mention as well, you touched on it earlier, Alec, when the move from Brockville to, of course, Westfield. Sorry to move from the ground eventually. A lot of memories there, I'd imagine.
Without a doubt. I'd love to say that Brockville, but again, we used a 10,000-seated stadium, and that was the problem, and I was manager. I mean, we finished second twice, third twice, but we couldn't get promotion because we didn't have a 10,000-seated stadium. So we've got to move. We better move because... We're going to be here all the time, and that's what happened. We built this stadium, and it's a lovely stadium. I don't know a bit about that. But I said before, I mean, Falkirk was my home as a player and as a manager, and I miss it. I said it obviously held us back. It curtailed us because they like to try to get promotion, you know, which was a shame, really. Even the first season, it was going to be two up. It was ourselves and Dundee, and then they changed the rules at Christmas. It was crazy, but anyway, that's what happened, and we didn't go up. And the next time was a playoff. It was Dunfermline, St Mirren ourselves, we're going to play Aberdeen, who were bottom actually, the Premier League, and well, you're not involved, Falkirk, because you've not got a 10,000-seat stadium, so it was a shame, and the players had to leave then because of that, you know, so it's just one of those things.
Yeah, you became, I was reading, the director of football at the club in 2002, and then you're still there, aren't you, at the moment? What is it you do at the club
there
now?
I do the commercial, because I was 22 years a manager, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and I felt I'd had enough, so this is the director said, what are you staying on, Alec? You're well known in the area, well respected, and doing the commercial, so I get money in for the club. There's a guy that likes to you know, hospitality, shirt sponsor, and I do dinners and golf days, and so that's what I do, just trying to get money for the club, and I really enjoyed it. And they gave us a Lifetime Achievement Award with a special night at a local hotel, and so got a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is something. I got a game against Rangers, which was great, and I got a big golf day as well. So a big Ronnie Yates came up actually to the golf day, and the Tommy Gamble boys like that. So it was the club's done us proud, but I think I've played my part for the club as well, you know, so I've got money in for the club. But it's something I thoroughly enjoy. People say, why not retire? But I enjoy what I do. I go to all the games, the boardroom, director's box, and just play my part for the club, because it's my club, really. I was a fan and a player and manager twice and that in the job I'm doing now, which is great.
Yeah, Falkirk get it just now, of course, struggling a little bit in recent seasons. How do you see them getting on this year, Alec?
Well, I think we've got to get back up again. It's as simple as that. It was a big, big disappointment getting relegated. But the fans have been magnificent. You know, They still support, very loyal to the club, which is great. But we've got to get back up. There's no question about that. And it's not ifs and buts. We've got to do it. Back to the Championship again. So then hopefully eventually to the Premier League. We were there before and it was great. You know, I do the hospitality. When you're in the Premier League, you don't phone people. They phone you. Oh, it's Rangers this week. It's Celtic, mm-hmm. Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs. And that's the place to be. So that's our aim. Ultimate aim is to get back to the Premier League.
You mentioned there earlier on as well, you released your book a couple of years ago. How much fun was that, and what gave you the idea to do that?
Well, there have been two or three people at me to do a book in that, you know. So it's called Thoughts from the Cop to the Kelpies, which is great, and I sold a lot, which is great. It's really tremendous, and about my career, where it started off at Liverpool, and just throughout my career, it's really good, and I've been a lot of people's great acknowledgement that, you know, it's thoroughly enjoyable, and So I'm quite proud, really. Got a couple of grandkids, and I gave them a book each. So maybe in years to come, they'll read it and be quite proud of their papa.
Yeah, certainly. And in terms of looking back on the career, Alec, in terms of maybe players, best player you played with and against, if you could choose one, I know it might be quite difficult, but is there one that stood out for you?
Well, the best player, I said earlier, Alan Gozine at Dundee was the best player I ever played with. David Cooper, who still got coaching that, he was just a natural, really. And Kevin McAllister was the best player I ever signed. I signed him twice. But the best player I ever played against was, I played against George Best when he was at Man United as a kid, and I was at Liverpool as a kid. I played against him. But in Scotland, Jimmy Johnson was tremendous. I mean, he was some player, you know, he'd try and beat again. Willie Henderson, another really friendly wee Willie, and he was another great player for Rangers in Scotland. But Lee Jinky was tremendous as well, and I played against the Lisbon Lions when I was at Dunfermline, and what a team, you know. When we played against them in that year, they went and won the European Cup. They were really special. So good memories. I mean, I've no complaints, really. I mean, I've enjoyed my time in football, and the clubs I've been with, you know, and the friends I've made. And I said earlier, I'm going to Liverpool on the 6th of December having a reunion. They're at the Bill Shankly Hotel, so I'm looking forward to that, seeing a lot of my ex-mates.
Yeah, certainly. And finally, in terms of obviously spending time as a manager, did you have any sort of run-ins with any opposition managers during your time in the dugout?
Well, that's what they did at times, you know, but it's only natural. I mean, you want to win, they want to win, simple as that, you know. So, Watty and me had a couple of run-ins, but still great friends. Still got a Christmas card to Watty Smith, and big Jim Leishman, Dunfermline, were rivals, but great friends. And so, respect for everyone, you've really got to have it. In 90 minutes, I mean, whether it's you're playing against your brother or whoever, you want to win, it's your team, it's your lads, so you're going to have that. But I always like to, somebody says, I play the golf and I love the golf, says, I like to play with you because you like a laugh, but you like to win. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
It certainly is that. Excellent stuff. Well, Alec, I think that'll do us here. Thanks very much for joining us this week.
Derek, thank you very much indeed. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Well, that was episode 19 of the Talking Football Podcast with Alec Totten. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks very much for listening. Remember, if you've missed any so far, you can catch them on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and we're also at derekclarksport.co.uk. You can catch us also on Twitter at @talking_football and on Facebook as well. I hope you can join me again next week when I'll be chatting to a former Inverness and Livingston star. Until then, bye for now.